Her. Maybe they belittled her because she wasn't, her questions were pretty dopey, or maybe her points of view were just impossible. Maybe they were trying to have a really vibrant discussion and use it as an intellectual jumping off point, and instead she took it the wrong way and she was belittled. Is this a lawsuit? I wasn't there. I don't know. It's just a scenario that I'm concocting here because as I read this story, I'm trying to get some specifics here of why some of these conservative students feel so marginalized, and it all sounds very vague to me. So I have a feeling that a lot of these lawsuits are going to get tossed out. That's what I think. And one of the big stories that's been going on is outrage building over after-hours trading, market timing, and so on with mutual funds. So that what you feel like is the biggest dope in the world, mutual funds, the stock market, all of this stuff has to be for suckers now because we're so taken advantage of. We are small investors, most of us, and here you have the large market forces just using us as fodder to make themselves even richer than this regime in Washington is already doing on their behalf. They're so bloated in their wealth, it's not enough, so they turn to market timing and all these other subterfuges which make money off of our backs. So can you trust your mutual funds? We'll be talking more about that in the next hour, especially in an economic environment where nobody knows what to put their money into because nothing really is paying very much. 303-382-1150. Everybody thought mutual funds was a sort of fairly stable way to go, and I don't think it is. I have second thoughts now. Michelle, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, I agree with the mutual funds. I think maybe that was another ploy, perhaps, to get us to invest our money so that the bigger corporate people can just take it from us again. And I'm completely and totally behind you. I think that you're very intelligent. I think you have a lot to say for the majority, and it's sad to see that the people that usually are the evil ones to speak are now upset because we're finding a voice. But I had to call about the Rush thing, about how that described his life for the past 10 years. I thought that was hilarious.
Was he ever aptly named or what?
I am so going to use that. I am so going to use that for all of the people that can just, I don't know, if you don't have a belief, like a good majority of, okay, I consider myself a Christian, yet human at the same time. And so I understand that some people may group that with, maybe not having a mind of your own. But that's my belief.
Being Christian is wonderful. And
my belief also, Enid, is that we all have the right to say and live and be as we wish because we are living in the United States of America. And I am totally and completely behind you. I think that everything that you've said has been completely on mark. And actually, I think you've changed a little bit for the better. I think at first when I started listening to your program, you were still very intelligent, but you have definitely found a voice now. And you're getting people to call in that are very upset now because you're actually speaking what the majority, I believe, thinks.
Well, I think, thank you, Michelle, very much. But I think that if you are really a Christian, Christianity has with it, this compassionate aspect.
Absolutely.
To it. And these people who say that they are a Christian, just like these people who call themselves conservatives, are really very nasty-minded, a lot of them close-minded, horrible people who have found a socially acceptable label for themselves. And I think, in that sense, they give both conservatism and Christianity, mainstream Christianity, a bad name.
Exactly. It's like their own avenue to be ugly to people.
That's right. And then they can make it sound like it's a religious mandate.
Right.
Michelle, we're going to have to...
This is my belief, and you're wrong. And
we're going to leave it there. We're out of time in this hour. Thank you, Michelle. One more hour of Enid coming right up. It's the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We'll be talking about the latest polls on George Bush, what's going on in Iraq, and you can always contribute. 303-382-1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Today is the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November, and that means Election Day. There are three statewide measures on the ballot, including voters deciding whether to issue bonds to fund water storage. Alan Macbeth of the Denver Election Commission says he doesn't think there will be a high voter turnout, though, today.
We mailed out 245,000 ballots. We've gotten 75,000 back. Last time we did this, we got 95,000 back. So one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to get 20,000 ballots today and we're going to be here very late, or turnout may be lower. That's a shame all by itself.
Remember, though, if you haven't mailed your ballot, you need to drop it off in the county in which you live before 7 this evening in order for your vote to count. The solar flares just keep on coming. This afternoon, shortly after 1 p.m., atmospheric scientists in Boulder recorded another one. That makes 7 since last Wednesday, which Larry Combs at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says may add up to a record-setting level of turbulent solar activity.
This type of activity is not totally unheard of, but I believe that the level that's occurring now probably has to be breaking some records in our history books.
These solar flares are triggered by geomagnetic storms that caused minor eruptions in satellite and cell phone service. Combs emphasizes that these flares do not pose a direct danger to people. A telemarketing group says there's no real need for a national do not call list. Mainstream Marketing Services Incorporated filed papers in the U.S. Appeals Court in Denver saying the registry is unfair because telemarketers must pay to access it. A three-judge panel of the appeals court allowed the registry to go into effect last month. The Federal Communications Commission is looking into whether AT&T violated its own do not call list. The FCC claims AT&T made solicitation calls to 29 customers on 78 separate occasions, even after the customers requested no more calls. The agency is proposing a fine of $10,000 for each of the 78 violations. AT&T says it is cooperating with the FCC. There has been more violence in post-war Iraq, and President Bush has expressed deep sadness over the bloodshed. The Pentagon says four members of the U.S.-led coalition were wounded in an apparent mortar or missile attack on the main military compound in Baghdad. The attack comes on the heels of the death of another American soldier in the Iraqi capital. The soldier was killed by a roadside bomb. Two other troops were injured. Both attacks came the same day that the number of soldiers started arriving in the U.S. for R&R. The soldiers were to have been accompanied by many of the 15 soldiers who were killed when their Chinook helicopter was shot down over the weekend. President Bush was given a bird's-eye view of the devastation caused by the Southern California wildfires today as he toured the badly burned parts of that region. Speaking in San Diego County, Bush praised the thousands of firefighters who battled the state's most costly blazes ever. Bush says that he's impressed how well people pull together in times of tragedy.
It's amazing that what nature has, we've seen the worst of nature. But when you go to these communities and when you realize what's taking place, you see the absolute best of mankind.
In total, the massive California wildfires laid waste to more than 750,000 acres, reduced thousands of homes to ash, and claimed the lives of at least 22 people, including one firefighter. Bush said the fallen firefighter will be remembered for having committed the ultimate act of sacrifice. It was a short day in the preliminary hearing for accused double murderer Scott Peterson. Modesto Police Detective John Evers was back on the stand testifying about the night that Scott reported his pregnant wife Lacey missing. During cross-examination from the defense, the officer admitted that he detected no scent of bleach or chlorine when he first responded to the Peterson home. That runs counter to speculation that the defendant cleaned up before contacting police. Tyco International is posed to cut 7,200 jobs as part of the company's wide-ranging restructuring plan. The Bermuda-based conglomerate says it expects to save roughly $230 million a year from its restructuring by 2005. That move comes in the wake of alleged corporate crimes of its ousted chief executive and chief financial officer. Tyco's former CEO Dennis Kozlowski and former CFO Mark Swartz are on trial in Manhattan Supreme Court, facing a 35-count indictment for looting Tyco out of $600 million. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take a 6-5 record into tonight's game at the Pepsi Center with the Minnesota Wild. The Denver Nuggets take on the Pacers tonight in Indiana. So far this season, the Nuggets have won 2 and lost 1. Have you separated from military service and wish you'd never left? Join the Air National Guard. Work part-time and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Puppetry of the Penis, the international hit comedy that everyone is talking about.
It was hysterical. I haven't laughed that hard in a really long time.
Inspiring.
Funny. Very good. Nothing I haven't seen before, but very good. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever.
ever seen. Entertaining. It was great to bring my husband, one of the few men here, tonight. It was great.
I look painful.
These two naked Aussies achieve a lunatic virtuosity, sending audiences into hysterics in New York and London. Now Denver audiences are roaring with laughter. The penis extends at the new Denver Civic Theater, 721 Santa Fe Drive. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to resist the good-natured silliness, raves variety. Don't miss this hilarious phenomenon. The Philadelphia Inquirer raves, it's good, clean fun.
Entertaining, embarrassing, funny, silly. I laughed really hard. I would say come see.
Those of you can imagine a guy sitting next to you just crossing his legs going, no, no, no.
Puppetry of the penis. Reserve seats on sale now at Tickets West Outlets, TicketsWest.com, and the Denver Civic Theater box office. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Bank One. Clearing an accident at Evans and Logan. We do have some construction. I-70 at 470, and also we do have a bit of a problem at eastbound 6th Avenue between I-25 and Kalamath. Stop by Bank One to get maximum strength checking now. Maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, not as cold today with a high of 49, but that's going to change again. Clouds roll in tonight. Some fog develops late, a low of 22, and the fog will linger into early Wednesday morning, then mostly cloudy with a few light snow showers possible. The high, 38. Heading into Thursday, mostly cloudy, again a cool day with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the lucky and lively Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, noon to 3. On KNRC, you can always join the conversation, 303-382-1150. If you've never called a talk radio show before, if you've never called us before, think about doing it. Everybody would be nervous. I would be nervous. And so I'm sure you will, but you're an adult, and so your beating heart will soon calm down, and you will be able to affect the dialogue and probably reach more people than you'll ever meet in the rest of your life. And if you have been a Rush listener and you're tired of those B-string, if even that, G-string level of fill-in hosts that they've got over there, and the show is old the minute you start to listen to it because it's tape delayed, it's already over by the time they run it at the Walmart across the way. Come on over here. And let's have a good, vibrant conversation. 303-382-1150. If you're just tuning in, here's what you've missed so far. You missed KNRC defense analyst Andy Lightbody talking about the bombings in Baghdad of the Green Zone. The Green Zone is where coalition headquarters are, the most secure part of Baghdad, and that was even penetrated today. Four wounded, as far as we know, no dead, at least none reported. The coalition, when they call it the coalition, this is where the coalition is located. Who's in our coalition? What is it? A couple of Bulgarians, maybe a few Polish, a few Brits, and us mainly. Is that it? Why do they call it the coalition? I think that's like a PR thing. We had to question that every time we hear it. So that's what we've been doing. We are also talking with the Washington editor of Mother Jones magazine about a stealth effort by large corporations to kind of hijack the judiciary. We're not really aware of it. And here's what has happened. You have a judiciary that starts to rule in favor of corporate interests over the interests of citizens, now called consumers. And what do you have in the way of a country then? More division. One of the big scandals, and this is the Wall Street Journal and everybody else in the world also reporting this, investors are fleeing some funds because there's all this scandal. If your retirement money is stashed in a mutual fund that has behaved badly, your mailbox is probably stuffed with sheepish letters from the fund asking you to stick around, reports the Wall Street Journal. But many investors are voting with their feet. On a nearly daily basis, another mutual fund firm admits or is accused of allowing some clients to trade at the expense of other investors. And more are going to be revealed. So you already have a country where the tax breaks went to benefit the richest Americans. And now you have very rich investors who are probably more insider than the rest of us, not happy with their bloated returns, wanting to make still more money off of our backs. And the large investment firms have allowed them to do it, or allowed some of these mutual fund firms have allowed them to do it, just like the large investment firms allowed their analysts to put out biased completely wrong information, getting suckers like us to invest in stocks that they knew were dogs in order to secure other business from these various stock issuing firms that would enrich their own pockets. So at our, on our backs. It's all made on our backs. And when are we going to get smart enough to realize that there are more of us than there are of them, and we ought to start to wake up and demand that this country be a real country again, instead of a country of, by, and for special interests, instead of a country in which factions are played off of against each other because it will behoove the career of one politician over another? If you really cared about this country, if you genuinely loved it, you'd figure out ways to bring us all together. We are still deeply, deeply divided, and as the polls tell us, there are a couple of big poll information. First of all, we're still just as divided as we were on President Bush. 2 years after a surge of national unity in the wake of 9/11, the U.S. is once again a 50-50 nation, shaped by partisan divisions as deep as ever that stand between President Bush and re-election. And they just did a poll, and it looks like 4 out of 10 say that they would not vote for Bush again. More than 4 in 10 voters nationwide say they definitely will not vote, they will vote against, which is different, that they won't vote for. They will vote against President Bush. So let's say 40% say that they are going to vote against President Bush next year, more than plan to vote for him, according to this poll that was just released. The survey by Marist College's Institute for Public Opinion, and I don't know where Marist College is and if it's even a real college, but anyway, it's being cited here. They found in their poll that 44% of the voters questioned said that they plan to definitely vote against the Republican president, while 38% said that they would support his reelection. So if you have a plus or minus of 3 or 4%, more are going to vote against Bush than are going to vote for him. In an April survey found that 40% of voters nationwide had planned to vote for Bush, while 30% said that they would vote against him. So those numbers have against Bush have come up dramatically. The latest poll also found a drop in Bush's approval rating, which had been reflected in nationwide polls. The Marist poll had the president's approval rating at 53%, which was down from 70% in April. And also, a lot of polls are split on a majority, it turns out, of Americans disapprove of Bush's Iraq policy. A new poll shows that less than half of Americans support the Iraq policies of U.S. President George W. Bush. I want to ask you a question. 15,000 Iraqis have been killed in the invasion and in the aftermath. These are the estimates we've seen. I don't know, about 400 Americans have been killed, and I don't know, thousands more wounded whose lives will never be the same, maimed, wounded, scarred for life. Maybe it's too early to ask this question. Probably it is, but I can't resist thinking about it, so I will throw it out. Has it been worth it? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Has it been worth it just to get, and really all we have been able to do so far is get Saddam out. We were going to get Saddam, but he's still roaming around someplace. We don't even know. We don't even know who the terrorists are. Apparently, we don't know whether they're organized or whether they're ragtag, whether they're Baathists, whether they're jihadists coming in from Iraq and any place else that they can come in from. We don't know. So I'm going to ask you, is it worth it so far? It's a little early to ask, but it's too early to start thinking about how we can get out of there. And I don't mean because we are cowards. We should have never been there in the first place, but how do we get out? I think we just make a big party and say, hey, we won, and start lining up those transports and start bringing them home. You've insulted the United Nations, and now you have to go on your knees begging to them to take it over, some neutral party to take it over and help to reshape, if in fact that's even possible. And so far it never has been. If you look at your history, reshape that region. 303-382-1150. Dan, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hey, well, Enid, the biggest monkey wrench in your not wanting Bush to get reelected to is, I think, more that the Democrats are stabbing each other in the back.
They might be. If they don't wake up and get their act together, it's going to be Bush all over again.
I can't remember. It was ABC, CBS, or NBC, but I woke up either this morning or yesterday, kind of foggy, but they were talking about this DraftHillaryNow.com movement, and that, you know, people are telling the senator from New York that it's either time to stop posturing like a presidential candidate or get in the race.
Well, her numbers of all the presidential or the Democratic presidential possibilities, hers gets the highest ratings. The last poll I saw showed her at about 43%, whereas the next person on the list was Wesley Clark at 10%. So yeah, she really head and shoulders above everybody. I think she ought to go for it.
Her Dean spoiler is not spoiling as much as they wanted to.
Well, there's some glitch in his. He's not for some reason or hasn't yet disclosed certain financial information. I'm talking about Wesley Clark. Dean talked about his drinking when he was in his late 20s. He quit, I guess, when he was about 30. He said he would leave it there. He was a young man doing things that young men do.
I loved it when he said he wanted the rednecks with the Confederate flags in their pickup trucks.
What did he say?
Did you hear him say that?
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
Well, he called hell on the Sunday morning news shows because he said Saturday somewhere he said that he wanted to track the voters that drive around in pickup trucks with Confederate flags in their back windows.
Why does he want to track them?
I don't know.
I'm telling you who we're tracking. We're tracking people who have signs up. We support the troops. We want to know how they're doing that. Are they giving them a break on the rent? Are they charging them less at the hardware store? We want to know how they're actually supporting the troops. Thanks, Dan. 303-382-1150. Patrick calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well. Are you listening to us on the Internet?
Yes, I'm a Kentucky Kucinich volunteer.
Okay.
Here in Kentucky, and listen to Malloy a lot and just happened to catch you on WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Okay.
And I was listening to the conversation, and, Kentucky and Mississippi are fixing to lose their Republican incumbency in the governor's mansion. We're currently undergoing a race today, and it looks like Fletcher, the Bush Republican, is going to get it simply because...
Wait, he's going to win or he's going to lose?
He's going to win simply because...
This is in Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
And what about Mississippi? Is it a Democrat or Republican?
It looks like the same thing going on in...
So are you telling me that it's too soon to cackle over the demise of George W. Bush because Republicans are taking state houses all over the country, at least in two states?
Bush is going to win... Bush is going to win today, but in a year, we're going to win in 2004.
Well, I like your optimism, Patrick, and I hope you're right about
that.
But there's no guarantee. I mean, his approval ratings aren't so wonderful, but if the Democrats don't get it together right now, Kerry and Gephardt, all of them have teamed up to stab poor Howard Dean in the heart. So we'll see what happens. And I thank you for the call. And thanks for calling from Kentucky. 303-382-1150. Brad calling from Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, and I have an answer for you.
Okay, good.
You want the answer first? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
What's the question? It's just like, remember that routine? You remember that routine, Karnak? Was that Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
I'll tell you the answer. You tell me the question.
Yeah. A large woman.
Oh, really?
The question is, how many lives do you think it would be worth losing to free 25 million people?
Oh, come on. That's the wrong question.
Well, you may call it the wrong question.
That is the wrong question. And how many lives is it worth to free a million people, like in the Congo and so on, who have been slaughtered in wholesale, horrible,
you have an answer
terrible ways?
Question.
I mean, that isn't the
question.
It's the wrong question. That's why I'm not answering it.
Oh, now wait a minute. You said you're in.
Here's the real question. What have we done here to make ourselves safer, to protect ourselves against terrorism? Has it been worth, and what have we accomplished so far, other than to get rid of Saddam Hussein? But he's around someplace, probably looking for that black dye that only Clairol can make.
I would suggest that you're not answering the question.
It's the wrong question.
Now listen to me. Listen. Let me get a word in.
It's an irrelevant question, actually, too.
I would suggest that you're not willing to answer the question because it would actually be unanswerable with your current stance. Because as soon as you give an answer, you realize that we're doing the right thing in freeing.
I've never thought that we were doing the right thing there for a million different reasons. And do I have to list them?
How many lives do you think it's worth?
Do I have to list them all? But here it looks like we are really in that Q word quagmire. We never had a very good strategy, it turns out. post-occupation. No, it's not my opinion. I have had reporters in here who have been in Baghdad, and girls among them, if you were listening to the interview. She risked her life, and she's been doing really heroic reporting from Baghdad for NPR, and she's here
about
saying...
Geraldo Rivera.
Well, I didn't have Geraldo, but I had Ann Garrels, and she said it was very clear from the people that she interviewed that there was no that there was no training, that there was no real plan in place, and this has been, Brad, widely reported. Brad, you can disagree with it.
I didn't make it up.
I'm not making this up. So, you know, when you call the show, and I always like your calls, they're very entertaining for reasons that you probably don't intend. But, you know, arm yourself with some information. The reporting here is that we never had much of a post-war occupation plan in place. And the reporting has also been, and this is the most astonishing thing of all, the State Department did. They now look eerily prescient. They predicted the looting. They predicted a lot of things that happened. And the Pentagon looked at that before the war got underway, and they shelved it. They said, screw you. We're not talking to you. We're not taking anything you do seriously. Just like they do with the CIA. We're going to have our own little intelligence unit. And so that's where they got those Niger documents, those forged documents. So they think that they can go it alone and that they're all John Wayne. And look at them. They've got egg on their face. And it's not even as, it's worse than egg on their face. People's lives are at risk. Give me an old presidential sexual scandal where it's only the two or three of them involved.
Hello?
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to say, Enid, is if you're too afraid to answer the questions, then that shows me that your intellectual...
You know, you don't have... Brad, the question is irrelevant. It doesn't matter about Saddam Hussein. It's a dumb question to ask, and that's why I'm not answering it. It doesn't address anything. Getting Saddam Hussein out of there has nothing to do with our own vital interests at the time that we went in. He was not a direct threat to us. That war was sold to us on the basis of lies and deceits now coming out, now more monstrous. For the lives and the toll that it has taken on people's lives as a result. So, no, I think it's a completely irrelevant question. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. You may want to comment on that dopey question. 303-382-1150.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a schoolteacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Let's play a game. Tonight, as you lie in bed listening to KNRCRadio.com, which streams our station 24 hours a day to homes worldwide, lay in the middle of the bed. Doesn't that feel good? You can stretch your arms and legs in all directions and achieve perfect balance. Now you've got both sides of talk radio coming at you through your ears and both sides of the bed holding you in exquisite limbo. Welcome to our world. Hear both sides talk on KNRCRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:24 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 3 o'clock. If you haven't dropped off your ballot, those confusing, stupid ballots. These are the worst I have ever seen. Remember to do it because if you're going to mail it, well, you can't mail it now, but if you were going to mail it, they didn't tell you right on the letter where you put your stamp that it was 60 cents. So a lot of ballots are probably invalidated. And we heard one news report where they said it was a lower turnout than the last time they did it. Well, duh, no wonder. It's a very bad system, and they don't make it user-friendly, so they ought to clean that up and fix it the next time. And anyway, I like going to the polls. I think it's a nice community event. It makes me feel like a real citizen. We're talking about a lot of different things. If you're just tuning in, you missed the discussion. USA Today reporting that a lot of conservative students feel marginalized on college campuses, and so they're suing those colleges. And they're suing them with the help of a lot of Christian, what call themselves Christian organizations. And when I looked at the story more carefully, it was along the lines of, I don't know what the reality is, but the way it was reported, it was along the lines of, well, I don't raise my hand in class anymore because they don't take my questions, or they belittle me, and I'm just not going to, you know. Maybe it is true that conservatives are simply not as bright as liberals, and so therefore when they're trying to teach them something in these classes, these kids feel like they're marginalized, and aha, it is a lawsuit. So we're talking about that. We're also talking about the fact that there are a lot of polls out now telling us that 40% or so, 44% say that they are going to not vote, they're going to vote against President Bush in the next election. However, we just heard a caller from Kentucky telling us that in Kentucky a Republican is going to be the governor, and apparently in Mississippi that's the case too. So I don't think you can count the Republicans out, especially since Democrats seem to be fighting amongst themselves and are still a little bit asleep at the wheel. The business of going into rec, let me just, since there was that explosion today in the most secure area of Baghdad called the Green Zone, where our headquarters are located, it means that they can penetrate any place, that they have figured out how to do it. And it makes Americans look highly highly vulnerable. Also, it turns out that there are certain areas of Iraq where they hate us with a passion. And when troops with Humvees came by just recently and were throwing candy out, the Iraqis instructed the children, don't pick those up. They're filled with poison. So the poisonous is how they regard us. In a poll results just released, 19 of 20 Iraqis or those living in Baghdad said it's worse now than it was before. They feel less safe than they did. Maybe it'll be better in 5 years, they thought. But right now, 19 out of 20 say they feel less safe than they did before. Sometimes they can't even leave their homes. So, with 400 of our own troops dead and many thousands maimed for life, with 15,000 Iraqis dead and many of them maimed for life, has it been worth it? So you have guys like Brad calling in to say, well, was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Was it? Is it? He was not a threat to us. Serving our own strategic interests, what we have done is we have taken everybody who would be focusing on the war on terror and focusing them in this quagmire in Iraq. And so guess what? Osama bin Laden, he gets to regroup. Maybe they'll bring him in right before next year's election. Maybe that's what George Bush has in mind. He's going to do a trifecta. He'll do Osama, he'll bring in Saddam Hussein, with or without the black hair dye, and then some third person. And he'll do that right before the election. That'll be the wag the dog scenario. You can't count the Republicans out yet. You better work really hard to get a different regime in. Joe in Westminster, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, thanks, Enid. The problem with Brad's question is that he's loaded it with all these false premises that the neocons always do. It's just as simple as, we're going to free these people, and that's it. Well, there's a lot more to it, as you said. If we're going to debate the merits of whether we should have done what we did in Iraq, we need to at least work with the facts, which they never do. The facts are that...
Oh, and they certainly didn't share the facts with us, or we wouldn't have gone for the war. That wouldn't have been the approval. They sold the war on the basis of a lot of lies we now know.
Right. But, the interests to be weighed are, unseating a very repressive and, evil secular tyrant. But the choice, the alternative, as we did, the alternative to that is not necessarily, a Western-style democracy that's going to spring up. Those people, a large number of those people over there are Shiites and otherwise Islamic fundamentalists. So, they make it sound... The choice isn't just with necessarily freedom for all those people. It might be a different type of tyranny.
Well, first of all, a lot of them don't want us there right now. Whatever goodwill we had going in, a lot of that has been dissipated. And as I had many journalists on who've covered that area for decades saying, look, the minute we go in, it's going to be a recruiting poster for every terrorist in the neighborhood. And guess what? That has happened. Plus, we went in there with virtually no post-war strategy in place, which to me, I can't believe that we would have gone in like that with no planning. I just can't believe it. I'm not a military genius, but that would be number one on the list, it seems to me. Matt, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I just wanted to comment on these college students who are filing lawsuits because they said they're not given adequate attention. And from what I remember in my own college days, professors, yes, perhaps some of them were liberally biased in a way, but from what I do remember, they criticized poorly reasoned arguments. They ridiculed illogic, and it wasn't just conservative opinions.
Well, so can you imagine these conservatives talking about how, if you take the Bible literally, if you imagine that they might ask questions about that, using that as a premise in a class, what the response from the rest of the class might be?
Exactly, and what they want is to be exempt from criticism. But
I'll tell you what they really want. I'm going to tell you right now. They are putting the fear of God into these institutions that now have to spend money fighting lawsuits, however frivolous these lawsuits might be. And they are attempting to reshape those institutions, and they might be successful. By filing these lawsuits, they might very well be successful, and I'm sorry to see that happen.
And can I, one more point. I don't know if you've brought it up because I've listened on and off throughout the day, but speaking of the fear of God, this particular Reagan miniseries that was pulled from CBS, that just shows you the power of the conservative movement to where if you don't toe the line, if you don't portray our icons as saints and Jesus Christ himself, then we are going to make threats and lawsuits and boycotts. And CBS caved, and now the series...
I am with you. I mean, I was so sad that CBS caved. I guess they're going to... It's probably going to be seen, or at least they're theorizing. It's supposed to be seen on Showtime. I'm not a Showtime subscriber. I'm an HBO subscriber. But I'm with you that they caved. Here's what conservatives like to do. Liberals will say, if you don't want to watch that, fine. Turn it off. That's why there's the on and off button. That's what liberals will say. Conservatives will say, we don't think you should watch it either, so we don't even think it should be on the air.
Right. And I don't get Showtime. And I wanted to watch the show, and now they have decided for me that I cannot watch the program, and that's the right wing in a nutshell.
Let me tell you something. I hope that this is exactly what Bill O'Reilly did for Al Franken. I hope that all of this attention on this miniseries makes the ratings go right through the ceiling. That's what I hope.
I hope.
And if CBS, if CBS had aired it, they would have had huge ratings because everybody would have tuned in to see what is the fuss all about since there's been so much conversation about it.
Exactly.
So they really have shot themselves in the foot, and a lot of people don't subscribe to Showtime, but I would have asked Al Franken, my friend Phil Bronstein, who is the executive editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, emailed me and he said he was interviewing, he said he was going to be interviewing Franken for the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. What should he ask him? I said, I'll ask him why he canceled on us. But what I would have asked him is what kind of a thank you gift, Al, are you going to give to Bill O'Reilly? Because his prodding of the lawsuit took Al Franken's book from, you know, below zero to, you know, it was in like number 400 or something on the Amazon list and shot it right to the top of the list.
That's why I listened to O'Reilly's program on KNRC, and he is literally obsessed with Franken and with that loss.
I'm sure his leaning on the executives who then leaned on the attorneys was why that dopey lawsuit happened, which got so much publicity for Franken.
And he's just a psychotic. I mean, he literally talks about nothing else. He's just obsessed because someone actually challenged him, and he can't stand that Franken's book is more popular.
Well, I'm with you on that. I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
303-382-1150. Carl calling from Golden. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I love your show.
Thank you.
But what I see, I was watching a movie on HBO the other day. It had the Roy Cohn. Are you familiar with Roy Cohn?
Yes, he was an attorney who pretended not to be gay, but he was, and he was a real pit bull, and he worked for McCarthy, didn't he?
Exactly.
Senator McCarthy, Joe McCarthy.
But what's frightening about it, the similarities of what's going on right now, how much power these people had, and the threats that they would make if you didn't agree with them, not calling them communists and stuff like that.
Well, they don't call you communist now. They call you unpatriotic. They question your patriotism.
Yes, exactly. Now, I drive a bus, a charter bus, and I pick up a lot of universities. And one example I can give you is DU, the soccer team for the girls. And that was when Michael Moore was doing a show over there.
Yeah.
And, man, I never seen any liberal views in that. I mean, they were downright vicious about what was going on with Michael Moore. I don't see that liberal.
I was at that Michael Moore lecture. There were 7,200. That arena was completely filled. And Michael Moore had a very supportive audience that cheered him and gave him a standing.
Well, they were outraged about that. They said it was all set up. And then even the coach had mentioned that is all planned. They have people sitting up in front, he said, that do the cheering and get them all started and excited. And I thought
I was sitting way in the back, and there was plenty of cheering going on there.
Exactly. But that was my point anyway.
All right, Carl. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate. Is this the first time you've ever called?
No, I've called once before.
Okay. Thanks very much. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy. 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. Today is Election Day, and election officials predicting turnout of 30-40%. If you haven't mailed your ballot already, it's too late to do that, but you can drop it off in the county where you live by 7 tonight and still have your vote counted. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Boulder says we've now had 7 huge solar flares since last Wednesday, with the latest happening just after 1 o'clock this afternoon. The flares don't pose any direct danger to the people or animals, but they could interfere with satellite and cell phone service. Some top Air Force generals spent time talking to cadets, at the Air Force Academy about ethical issues the future officers may face once they're on active duty. The generals were in Colorado Springs for a quarterly meeting. Similar seminars have been in place at the Academy for 5 years, but there's been more emphasis lately due to the recent sexual assault scandal. 4 people have been wounded in the second attack on a military compound in Baghdad in less than 24 hours. The injured were transported to a combat support hospital with no word on their conditions. Meanwhile, the Army has revised the death toll from Sunday's attack on a military helicopter to reflect the fact that 15, not 16, U.S. soldiers were killed and a total of 27 troops injured. Southern California's spirit is strong despite having been ravaged by out-of-control wildfires that have claimed the lives of at least 22 people. That's what President Bush had to say earlier as he toured parts of the state hit hardest by the massive blazes. The fifth day of testimony in the preliminary hearing for accused murderer Scott Peterson has wrapped up for the day. It was an extremely quick session, cut short by a prior engagement Peterson's defense attorney was obligated to attend. Scott Peterson is charged with killing his pregnant wife Lacey and their unborn child. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both have games tonight. The Avs are in action at the Pepsi Center against the Minnesota Wild, and the Nuggets are in Indiana playing the Pacers. When it comes to quality, Taco Bell delivers with freshly prepared zesty chicken bowl with grilled all-white meat chicken so it tastes even better. Available at participating locations, when you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Colorado Symphony Orchestra performs Vivaldi's classic, The Four Seasons, and Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony No. 3. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 7th, 8th, and 9th. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at www.coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Really looking good around the metro area. We are accident-free at this hour. If you're up in the high country, you might see a little bit of slushy roads, so watch for that if you're headed out that way. Watch for some construction eastbound 6th Avenue between I-25 and Kalamath. Have you separated from military service and wish you'd never left? Join the Air National Guard, work part-time, and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-TOGO-ANG. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, not as cold today with a high of 49, but that's going to change again. Clouds roll in tonight. Some fog develops late, a low of 22, and the fog will linger into early Wednesday morning, then mostly cloudy with a few light snow showers possible. The high, 38. Heading into Thursday, mostly cloudy, again a cool day with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Heterogeneous multi-platform multi-protocol integrated management software. Is there anything that sounds less interesting? Why, yes, there is. Like colonoscopies, plate tectonics, otolaryngology, non-Euclidean geometry, jurisprudence, and Brownian motion. Actually, lots of things sound way less interesting. While it doesn't seem captivating at first, the right management software from Computer Associates can help you maximize your IT resources, which in turn impacts your bottom line, and that ought to get your attention. To find out more, go to ca.com/radio today.
Have you seen that new plastic coffee container? Did you know it actually absorbs aroma from the coffee? At Maxwell House, we think the aroma should stay where it belongs. In the coffee, not the container. Our steel can won't absorb our rich coffee aroma, and unlike plastic, it's a perfect barrier against coffee's worst enemies, moisture and oxygen. So choose Maxwell House with the fresh steel can, and make every day good to the last drop.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stocks never really took off today, and by the closing bell had to settle for modest declines. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 20 points to finish at 98.38. The NASDAQ dropped 10 to close at 19.57. And the S&P 500 was down 6 to end the day at 10.53. Heavy volume, 1.3 billion shares traded at the New York Stock Exchange, 2 billion at the NASDAQ. Losing stocks basically even with winners at both market sites. Southwest Airlines is shutting down customers' reservation centers in Dallas, Little Rock, and Salt Lake City. Some 1,900 workers will have the option of relocating or taking severance. And layoff announcements from U.S. companies more than doubled last month to 171,000. The outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says that's the highest number in a year. The Dow again losing 20, the NASDAQ down 10. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:42 on the lively and lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock. I just got a great cartoon, an elephant cartoon from Rick, who emailed it to me. And it's Dick Cheney, who's got the puppet George W. Bush on his knee. And the puppet George W. Bush is saying, "The terrorists are getting desperate. The world is more peaceful and more free under my leadership. America is more secure. Mission accomplished." And then there's Condi Rice, who's a parrot, who's a little bird on a perch, saying, "Doing great, Chief. Doing great, Chief." Watch closely. You can see Cheney's lips move, says a little character off to the side. So that pretty much describes it. The real question to ask is, what did our going into Iraq, how did it advance our vital interests? By going to Iraq, how did it make us stronger? How did it protect us more from terrorism? How has it advanced us? And I would say that it has had just the opposite effect, that actually it has mitigated our war on terror. We don't have our frontline responders are now over there. Reservists are now fighting and getting killed and maimed in Iraq. We are in a situation where we didn't have much of a strategy post-war in the occupation. And it's looking more and more like a quagmire, more and more hatred. We have taken our attention away from where the terrorists, where we know they are, in Afghanistan and so on, and sent them over to Iraq, where so that what we're allowing to have happen is terrorism is being allowed to regroup in Afghanistan, other places like that. Maybe that's where they're shipping in more terrorists to Iraq, and maybe this is where they're fomenting whatever it is they have in mind for us next. So the argument could be made that, in fact, going into Iraq did not advance our interests. It weakened us substantially. The question is, and maybe it's too early to really assess it, we have 400 dead and many maimed, many thousands of our own troops maimed, wounded, changed for life, and we have 15,000 dead of the Iraqis and many thousands of them maimed for good. And so far, what is the cost-to-benefit ratio? Has it been worth it? 303-382-1150. And Saddam Hussein, I don't know, partying on. Find his money. That's where he is. Joe, calling from Bailey. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
Great show.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to make a different point, but before I do that, this thing about going into Iraq, I think what the Bush administration really knew was if they could lie their way in, then we would have to stay. And that's exactly what's happened. Because even the people who don't want us there don't have any good way to get us out. And I think Bush knew that, so that as long as you lie your way in and you get there, then the party's over and you're going to stay.
Well, I don't think that they expected the party would be so bogged down. I think they thought they were going to go in there, they were going to be greeted with flowers, and they were getting a lot of their information from the Chalabi guy, who, and it turns out most of that information was completely bogus and completely wrong.
Well, I think that this kind of goes along with the other point I really called about. When you deal with simple minds, you don't end up with good comprehension, and you don't end up with good conclusions, which is my other point. You were talking about this Reagan thing, and certainly the position that has been taken on...
The Reagan movie that CBS decided it's not going to air?
Yeah, it's book burning. I mean, that's all it really amounts to. You made the point. A progressive would say, if you don't like it, turn it off.
Right.
Okay? But a conservative isn't good enough with that. You know, they have...
They want to keep you from seeing it. They want to keep it from being on television.
Right, and it is book burning, and I guess the point is, if you're going to deal with sheep, okay, and this also goes along with the point that you made about the woman who's suing because she doesn't feel she's being treated fairly in school,
mm-hmm.
is that if someone doesn't have the comprehensive skills to know that they're being that they're simple-minded, how do you show them that they're simple-minded? I mean, if it's a sheep mentality, if it's a fundamentalist view, if it's a simplistic view, how do you ever show these people that if they don't have the comprehensive skills to understand it?
Well, apparently whatever the professors are doing with some of these students is failing miserably, and so students getting more and more outraged. Remember, here's the MO in this country. In a time where the highest level, richest people in America consider themselves victims because victimhood has become more popular, get you an appearance on Oprah's show, and if you're suing, it has become a profit center in the law, and also it has become a center of academe victimology. So if you are of a victim mentality, then what you're always demanding are your rights. You're never talking about exercising your responsibility. So you have these Christian groups who feel like they have been dissed from the larger culture, and they are legal groups that have been formed to, and they find, I think they cherry pick these students, they find disgruntled students, and then they file lawsuits. And the whole idea here is to manipulate universities. That's what they're trying to do, and they will probably have some success.
Well, you know, this, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's a victimization mentality. I refer to it as the lottery mentality. What's my lottery ticket? If it's filing a lawsuit against the university, that's my lottery ticket.
Yeah, I mean, oh, they dissed me. Well, I'm going to collect some money. Well, good luck. Yeah, good luck to that. Joe, thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. Randy, calling from Gilpin County. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, we're talking about Iraq here. I was thinking about, you know, I think the last caller made a really good point that the administration knew they just needed to get a war started because now they put everybody in a tough position. It's hard to oppose them because then, well, gee, you're supporting our enemies. And so I think they...
Yeah, but why do you want to... See, this is what I don't understand. They can say anything they want. They can say to a Dixie chick, when they try to Dixie chick you, you're unpatriotic. Mm-hmm. They can question your patriotism. People can tell you anything. They can tell you that the earth is flat and that you have three eyes and you don't have to believe it.
The scary thing is that it's working. I mean, they are... You know, I mean, if there's a culture war going on, they're definitely winning it. I mean,
well, what does that say about the mentality of the public who lets themselves be branded in this way? Yeah. I think that if somebody branded me this way, I would not accept the branding, And I would continue to vigorously continue to believe what I believe and to say it.
They're going with the numbers, though, that people like that, like you, are in the minority. And most people can be more easily led. And they're winning doing it that way. I think you know, some of the arguments of liberals being too highbrow are true. I mean, you have to get in the trenches and fight these people.
I don't know about being too highbrow. What does it mean to be too highbrow?
Yeah,
does it mean you have standards and you expect people to know how to spell and put a sentence together and have some logical thinking going on, a little bit of creativity?
Well,
is that too highbrow?
Not to me.
Democrats have not, because the culture, all right, there was a thing I saw over the weekend that tells us that who is the biggest consumer of pornography? According to this story I saw over the weekend, you never know with these surveys. Women, apparently, are the biggest consumers of pornography.
I didn't see that one.
But it must be that a lot of people are big consumers of pornography because it beats every other entertainment form. It is such a huge industry in the United States. It's bigger than everything else combined. So here you have a culture that apparently supports what is euphemistically referred to as adult entertainment, big time. And yet you have a lot of people who feel like they're not part of the mainstream culture. They're in opposition to this very loose kind of mainstream culture. And they feel like they're so left out that they have organized themselves. Meanwhile, progressives, because the culture really does reflect a kind of moderate to progressive, if not wholly off the cliff mentality, they have not felt like they have been excluded in that same way. So I'm guessing that one of the reasons they don't form calling trees, one of the reasons they don't organize themselves to write letters to the editor to get people out to vote for their side and to work in campaigns is because they haven't had to do it, and I think they better wake up.
Yeah, I agree. There is a lot of complacency. Can I make a couple other points?
Really quick.
Okay, just to think about like the intelligence of going into Iraq and the people who led us there. I remember Wolfowitz before the war talking about how it wasn't going to be a balkanized problem because there aren't diverse ethnicities in Iraq. And I just remember being totally stunned by that. And how they really weren't looking
well,
at
well, if
what
that's
was
an indication
happen.
Of the intelligence of both the people who are running the regime and also of our intelligence operations,
yeah, it's a
low barometer. Randy, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150, KNRC.
Andre, you just got a world record price on a DVD player and a personal best online purchase time. How'd you do it?
I just stayed focused. Didn't try to click on the monkey's tail. Did what I had to do.
Were shipping costs a factor?
No, the conditions were good. Shipping was pretty much equal.
What about brand?
Brands are important, but I'm just taking it one day at a time.
There's a confidence that comes with getting a low price. That's comparison shopping the new fashion way at Yahoo. Search, compare, and save at shopping.yahoo.com.
We've blindfolded Stacy Plummer.
Ow.
Can she spot the news about the Xerox Work Center with her eyes closed? She's running her hands over it. She's checking the 30-page document feeder.
Wow.
Stacy, it prints 16 laser images a minute and comes with the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee.
Really?
Wait, what's that? An embossed lease price. She's discovered the news. A Xerox Work Center
is just $66 a month.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. After all, seeing is believing.
Yeah.
Toner and photoreceptors sold separately.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Black Tie Colorado is teaming up with Denver's nonprofits to promote the needs of our local charities. Their website, www.blacktie-colorado.com, lists organizations looking for donations for specific items. $54 will provide 7 meals for shut-ins for Jewish Family Services, and $15 will buy a 3-day supply of diapers for Senecor. Click on www.blacktie-colorado.com and make the difference today.
Alan Jackson with Jimmy Buffett, Nora Jones with Dolly Parton, Tim McGraw, Shania Twain, Toby Keith, and more on the 37th Annual CMA Awards tomorrow night at 7 on CBS 4.
Talk to Alan Combs.
If I were running the Democratic Party, I would have the Democratic candidates for president talking about the need for border security, the need for airport security, the need to protect our homeland. Now we're hearing about possible Al-Qaeda attacks, but they're not raising the color level because they know that that's become a joke. I mean, the Republicans have done a very good job in terms of their image on security and military matters.
matters, but I think a lot of people do feel vulnerable, and I believe that that's not being addressed by the leadership right now.
Alan Combs, Late Night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNIC.
Doug Kelly, join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And program note here, Colorado Rapids playoff game tonight versus Kansas City Wizards starts at 7:30. There'll be a pregame at 7 o'clock, which means Dominic's show. And I thought Billy would be back this week, but he's not back yet tonight. But it'll be Dominic's show. It'll be a shortened show from 6 till 7. So the pregame at 7. And tonight, Colorado Rapids playoff game versus the Kansas City Wizards at 7:30 p.m. We've been talking about Iraq. We've been talking about whether it's worth it, the price we're paying so far. I know it's a little bit soon to make the assessment, but I have a lot of doubts, and I think a lot of other people do, too. Teresa, calling from Bailey. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, Teresa.
Well, I just wanted to share a theory I have. I've always felt that the Bushes, father and son, attract terrorism. And, in fact, I think they attracted 9/11, if not for their own purposes of making us afraid, because it's the fear they like us to have, like little children, so that they can control us. But I think also their connections with the Saudis, I think it's just a attraction, like a magnet that they have.
So wait a minute. You're positing that both father and son are terrorist magnets?
Yes.
That's a pretty good theory. I like that theory. Magnets,
well, go
both
back in history and look at what they caused and created, and they still have the connections with the Saudis, who were mostly the ones who did 9/11.
Well, wait a minute. Magnets in both senses of both spellings, M-A-G-N-A-T-E-S and M-A-G-N-E-T-S. All right.
Absolutely, and it's all about oil, and it's all about making us afraid. It's not about making us safe. It's about making us afraid, because when you're afraid, people can control you.
That's right. And that part, I certainly agree. The whole strategy has been to make us afraid. And you're right. It's a way that they can manipulate us.
But that was just my thought.
I think it's really a fascinating theory, Teresa. Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
All right. So are they terrorist magnets? This is an interesting theory. I do agree with Teresa on this aspect of it, and that is that the fear that is being used to manipulate everybody. And I think before the election, you're going to see more of it in place. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see much more fear in the run-up to the election. And so here they are. They're already the party that running this regime badly, I think. And if the Democrats don't wake up and figure out how to come together and get something going here, I don't know what's going to happen. So in spite of W's plunging approval ratings, and they are plunging, a lot of people a new poll indicates that a majority of Americans disapprove of Bush's Iraq policy. You have more voters who say they definitely are going to vote against Bush. You can't lay back here and think that he's not going to get reelected. He may very well. I mean, look at some of these gubernatorial races. You have Republicans taking over. A strategist warns Bush that he could fall in the polls with a Democratic nominee. When it's a Democratic nominee emerges, President Bush could temporarily fall in the polls. This is the president's senior strategist warns in a campaign memo that I guess CNN was able to obtain. The memo was written by Matthew Dowd, the president's pollster, to Bush campaign chairman and to the Bush campaign manager, comes 1 year before Election Day and is trying to lower expectations regarding the president's standing in the coming months. The two-page memo is aimed at grassroots supporters as a psychological benchmark to explain why polls will show the president's numbers at varying levels. It seeks to reassure the president's backers and to lay out where the pollster believes that the campaign is headed. After the Democratic nomination is all but assured, that person will receive a deluge of positive press, at least for a couple of weeks. This will be temporarily reflected in public opinion polls. And the strategist believes that the race is going to be very tight and will likely go down to the wire. But, hey, it's deja vu all over again. Isn't that what happened in the last election or the last C-election, depending on your point of view? Just to let you know, on Thursday, Peter Shelton will be joining us. He's written a book about the fabled 10th Mountain Division, survivors of whom came back to start some of the premier resorts like Vail and Aspic. Friday, Deepak Chopra, going to be joining us live in studio, the guru and the MD who has written all these, tremendous number of best-selling books. We'll be joined later on in the month by Rita Mae Brown. I have a lot of people to thank. Joe Anderson, thank you. Jordan Lyles, thank you. Coming up, Doug Kellett from 3 to 6, 6 to 7, Dominic, 7 to 7:30, the pregame for the Rapids, 7:30 tonight, Colorado Rapids playoff game versus the Kansas City Wizards. I'm Ina Goldstein. It's been a sort of a wizardy time today. I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3. Do something generous. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. And I'll join you back here tomorrow at noon. I mean it, and have a great evening.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by LensCrafters. If you haven't mailed that ballot for today's elections, don't mail it now. It's too late. You can still have your vote counted, but you'll need to take your ballot to the drop-off in the county where you live. Alan Macbeth of Denver Elections Commission.
If you've got a ballot, you've got to drop it off today. Your county, no matter where you live, has got to have the ballot in their hands by 7 p.m. tonight.
There are three statewide measures on the ballot, including a bond issue to fund water storage. Voters in Aurora are picking a new mayor for the first time in 16 years, and in Denver, the issue that has some folks stressed out, a proposal that would require the city to promote peacefulness. Denver City Councilman Charlie Brown says passage of this peaceful ordinance would bring much stress to the Denver City Council.
I think Denver and our city council would really be stressed out and trying to come up with some kind of program. For example, what type of music are we going to pipe into the Wellington E. Webb office building? Who's going to select that music?
The proposal advocates piping mellow music into public buildings and suggests Denver would be a much less stressed place if its residents adopt transcendental meditation. Since last Wednesday, there have been seven huge solar flares, with the latest this afternoon just after 1 o'clock. Larry Combs, a forecaster at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Boulder, says this latest flare is of the most severe and comes from the same place on the sun as the others of the past week.
This particular region is the region 486 that is actually clear on the limb of the sun at this time, actually going around, in other words, behind the sun. We can just see it. But it's still producing these extreme flares.
These solar flares are triggered by geomagnetic storms that cause minor disruptions in satellite and cell phone service. Combs emphasizes these flares do not pose a direct danger to people. Telemarketers have taken another step in their battle against the National Do Not Call Registry. Mainstream Marketing Services Incorporated filed papers in the U.S. Appeals Court in Denver saying the registry is unfair because telemarketers must pay to access it. In another case, the FCC is looking into whether AT&T violated its own Do Not Call list, the agency mulling over whether to fine the long-distance carrier. The probe does not involve the National Registry, though. For the second time in as many days, the main U.S.-led coalition compound in Baghdad has been attacked. A Pentagon spokesman says there were three explosions at the site, leaving four coalition members wounded. There's been no word on their conditions. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army has revised the death toll from Sunday's attack on a Chinook helicopter to 15, down from earlier reports of 16. When asked for his reaction on the attack today by reporters in California, the president said he is saddened any time there is a loss of life. President Bush says the spirit is strong despite devastating losses in fire-ravaged Southern California. Bush consoled victims in a decimated San Diego County neighborhood today. He said that amidst their tears, people are resolved to rebuild their lives. Authorities are warning Southern Californians to be ready for more problems as a result of the devastating wildfires. Current Governor Gray Davis has promised to do everything possible to repair that fire damage.
But we know with fires come floods, there will be mudslides, there will be erosion, there will be flooding. But if we work aggressively now, we can certainly minimize the damage that is sure to come.
The fires blackened more than 750,000 acres in Ventura, Los Angeles.